Welcome back, everyone, to Jay's Real World Podcast. We're on all the major platforms, Google, Apple, Spotify. Today's special guest is Jen, who is the founder of an organization called Hope is a Survival Skill. In our conversation today, Jen talks about coming through her own pain and tragic loss in her own family to come up with this really amazing idea for an organization in which not only her sharing her story, but helping people facilitate sharing their own stories of hope and survival with a positive sense of using her background in the media as a journalist to bring about this positive change. Here is my conversation with Jen. Welcome, everyone, back to Jay's Real World Podcast. We have a very special guest today. Her name is Jen, and she's from an organization called Hope is a Survival Skill. She actually founded the organization. And welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I just thought we would start, or maybe I can just share that, you know, I was recently in the last couple of months on the TikTok platform as, you know, my daughter set up an account for me. And then I became really engaged in it. This is prior to all the banning talks of, with all that. And I was so excited because I found a platform that really was so much, so rich and so much, so many different groups and organizations I never knew were on there. Myself connecting with the kidney and chronic illness community in particular. But then I came across a page, Hope is a Survival Skill. And it was your page. And your I saw some of your videos. And I was so, it struck me so much. Hope is a survival skill. And I was wondering if you could just, you know, share, you know, how you, what your organization is about, how, to what you feel comfortable sharing about, you know, how it all came to be. And maybe just introduce yourself first, just, you know, what, where you come from, your background and, you know, your skill, different skill sets, which are very impressive.
Sure. So there's a whole lot in that quick introduction, and thank you very much. And like I said, I'm just so excited to be having this conversation. I am here. I'll just jump right into it. I'm here because my husband passed away. He died by suicide in 2021. So it's only been about a year and a half. And I found that the struggle dealing with the trauma and dealing with the grief, especially we have three kids together. So especially with those kids, and I struggled with finding resources. But couple that with my background, you know, we live in Delaware. I have been a reporter for most of my life, writing news articles and photography, you know, and local reporting. We do all kinds of things. We do the writing, we do the photography, we do the layout and design. We do everything except selling ads, right? And in that, coupling that with the trauma that we dealt with, I discovered that the media is really afraid of suicide. And they have a very healthy fear of what's called contagion. And contagion is when we are talking about suicide in a way that encourages others, but if somebody is thinking about suicide and they hear about it in the news, contagion is when that news assists in their decision-making, if that makes sense. I'm trying to think of a good layman way to put it. In writing, we speak on a seventh grade level, right? So everybody can understand. Sometimes it's a little hard, you know, when you get into the nitty gritty of it to get those words out.
Like giving them so much information about maybe methodologies and things that maybe plant some information that doesn't necessarily need to be there, especially for young people.
Right, right. So that's the gist behind contagion. And the media is afraid to talk about suicide. But if something happens, if a suicide does happen in a locality, right, say in New York City, and it's a very public suicide, the media is going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Why? For two reasons. One, if it bleeds, it leads, right? And two, everybody's going to be talking about it. So the media feels like they have to control the narrative a little bit. So what they're actually doing is they're participating in the contagion by talking about the methodology, like you said, and they're not decreasing the contagion by talking about risk factors, prevention, all that, because they're afraid to talk about it.
Right.
It's kind of a double-edged sword, you know? And there have been lots of studies over recent, very recent years, 2020, 2021, that talk about how it's really important to share hope, to share stories of prevention and risk factors. And, you know, if somebody did have what we call a lived attempt where they had suicidal ideations and maybe they even tried to commit suicide, to die by suicide. Actually, we try not to say commit suicide. That's a new thing. So these research studies are saying that it's more beneficial to talk about the hope behind it. You know, I had, not me, but somebody might have had a lived attempt and now their life is, what are they doing with their lives now? You know, or in our case, we are what's called suicide loss survivors, my kids and I. So how is our life shaping up after dealing with the grief and dealing with the trauma? So I found that with my experience, I'm hoping that I can share some of those misgivings, help misspell some of the falsities out there, and help encourage the media to really change their narrative. And, you know, backing up to our own experience, you know, I know for a fact that my late husband was on Google the day that he died. He was looking for information. I won't share what specifically he was looking for, but I feel like if he were to have found hope in that moment, in a way that he needed to receive it, you know, because he didn't need to hear it from me. He didn't need to hear it from his parents who he reached out to that day. He needed to know it for himself, you know, in his heart. And he needed to find that information. And I feel like if we had done a better job as a society, you know, maybe it could have helped him. And maybe not. And that just has to be the way it is too.
You know,
I just feel like, you know, when we talk about survival skills, my kids are all in scouts and, you know, we learn pocket knife safety, we learn knots, we learn fishing, you know, all these actual, what's considered to be survival skills, how to build a fire, right? How to filter your water. But mentally, we have survival skills too. And we have to learn how to cope in certain situations, how to deal with relationships, how to handle, you know, a classroom setting, all these kind of things. And I think grief is a survival skill that we need to learn about. And hope is, you know, if we're focusing on the doom and gloom of society and in our case, suicide, and we're not focusing on how did somebody get through this? How did we talk to our friends about suicide? How did we get the local teenagers to really understand what they're going through instead of just giving up?
Yeah. You know, that's,
I feel like we would be doing so much better.
Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just thinking about, you know, the good and bad of social media and how I found you through TikTok on a positive side, right? But there is another side to that of unsupervised, you know, people seeing things and young kids, and it's so proliferated. So it's sort of like I was saying it in a way that we met that way on the positive side of how you can connect with people and how I didn't mean to bring up the whole thing about the banning of TikTok, but there's such a positive side to things, and looking at the positive side, it's sometimes hard to corral that. And at that moment, first of all, I think you're amazing for being able to come to a point through such a traumatic, you know, time and experience that you're still obviously dealing with in your own way. And I think this is sort of an outlet, right, for you to give help, you know, in this way.
Yeah, I think, you know, for some people like me, helping helps heal.
Yes.
And it's kind of a little tongue twister, you know.
Yeah.
Some people learn better when they're teaching something, right? It's kind of the same concept. I'm the same way. If I'm learning something, I have to do it, I have to teach it, I have to get it out of my mouth, you know. And for me, that's this in action.
Yes.
And tying everything together and hopefully down the road, helping the media understand how they can actually impact suicide in a better way than what they're doing right now. You know, they just get so afraid. But also, I really hope that, you know, we can help other grieving families and maybe even prevent some suicides down the road. You know, I've heard so many times, I've shared my journey on my own personal Facebook page, you know, before starting this as like a journal. And I've heard so many times from friends, you know, Jen, your story has helped me not go through it with it. I've seen the pain that it causes you and your kids. And I just need to know you to know that I don't ever want to put my family through that, you know? And, and I think sharing, you know, that's another way to kind of twist the narrative of hope is we have to get those survival skills out there so people understand what the impact is.
I mean, the you didn't really know anything about me. And even up until this point, I messaged you some little background about how I started a speakers bureau and I used to be a teacher and the topics. I was a school teacher and then I really wanted to do more. And so 20 years ago, we started doing programs on self-esteem enhancement and character education and dealing with bullying and, in a sense, suicide prevention through building self-esteem and giving positive messages through the speakers. It wasn't, we were not focused on scaring kids about drugs or alcohol, but giving people positive strategies through these amazing people that I was sort of behind the scenes for all these years doing. And this one man that I worked with, who's actually a college professor, but his whole thing is about hope. And he has an acronym that you may have heard, you know, H-O-P-E, hold on, possibilities exist. Hold on, possibilities exist, H-O-P-E.
I love that.
And then there's another side of it that he says, hearing other people's experiences, you know? And so that, and that stood out in my mind, you know, when I was, I mean, we only met now and just messaged through the platform. And I find that for you to, you know, the healing part is real, that you can, that through this concept, through this through what you're doing. And I was looking at your website about gathering stories, right? Of people sharing stories, right? Through like blog posts. How are the people sharing through the website?
Yeah, so the hope is that we get some blog posts going to generate some interest, right? But the broader hope is that I can help them write press releases. And if they're interested, if they're willing. Now, the key is you have to be ready to share your story. You know, you do not want to start a media flurry around your house if you are not prepared to share a lost story or a lived attempt story. I mean, these are really big topics. But the hope is that I can help guide some people towards that process of starting to share their story in a more, I don't want to say productive way, in a more public way, really. And like I said, it's touchy. But if we don't do that, we don't have anything to tell the media. You know, in local news, I used to get people all the time from local organizations, churches, Elks Lodge, whoever it might be. And they'd say, Jen, why didn't you do my story? Why didn't you write about this Easter egg hunt? We got Easter coming up. And I'd say, well, did you tell us about it? Because there's no way as a reporter that we can, you know, look through every single website, especially, you know, in our local community, but I mean, even especially nationally, you know, can you imagine CBS trying to find a story on a lived attempt and they're searching the internet for what? No, we have to tell them, we have to feed them the information just like they're feeding us. So that's kind of the hope.
I mean, you're in a unique position with your, with being in the media and having that skill set. And so the tragedy is real and so unfortunate for you and your family, but the fact that you can take a part of this to be able to make a difference for other people and to be able to, it's very heartwarming and touching, you know, that you can do this. So it's interesting not knowing about me, where I'm coming from, why would I be drawn to your, to you and your message. And, yesterday I, was talking to that professor, not about you. I didn't get in, he didn't even know I was doing, he's been on the podcast, but I was just happened to be talking about him something else. And he was saying, it's all about hope. Now, I was wanting to say something. I will alert him to the podcast when it comes out. He said, it's all about hope. And I'm talking about doing another book because of my most recent journey through needing a kidney transplant. And then people connecting with me. And that was the like how I found you on social media, about how your hope is a survival skill, which shot out at me, you know, so strongly, was connecting with people. And when I started to share my story, maybe not, maybe it was a different story, but it was a story of overcoming adversity. And in this part of my life, there've been others. And so a lot of people reaching out. So here, that's how we connected. But I mean, for people to hear other people's stories, to be able to draw upon the strategies that they may have used, or just the experience that may be similar, and giving people hope is such a huge thing. And it was interesting that that man said that to me yesterday, and then not knowing that I'm going to be talking to you. Hope, and I wanted to say that to him. I actually wanted to call him back. I will alert him. Hope is a survival skill. It's such a great thing. It's such a great, how did you come up with that?
I was sitting at lunch. I was seriously just sitting there at lunch, and I was thinking about this and thinking about, you know, how do I convey this message in a quick, you know, in a quick blurb? Because now, you know, I've moved on from my reporting life to now I'm working in public relations, and in PR, you know, we are very quick. How do we, you know, convince the audience, all of that? And it just came to me, and, you know, I was just sitting there having lunch by myself. I was kind of celebrating a small milestone, and in my mind, you know, I was talking to my late husband, and I said, look, I want to share a story. I want to convince the media to change their ways, if you will. And I hate to talk about the media in a negative way. I'm not talking about them in a negative way, because they're doing what they were taught. And we have to shift that. But it just came to me at lunch. Hope is a survival skill. And I thought, oh, wow. It really is, because it takes learning. You have to change your mindset. And that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah. It's really special. I think it's a great portal. I can't think of the word, you know, to come through for you and for other people, to help other people. And it shot, you were great in or whatever the universe brought to you, or how it came to you, maybe through your own training and your own, you know, abilities to your brain to work, and the experience you've had, that's how it came to me. So it worked, because that's how I took it. That's how it grabbed me. So and I'm sure other people have said that. You know, I was saying to you in my message to you, you know, oh, you know, it had touched my life, you know, this topic, and in a devastating way, that I shared for the first time in the book, that, you know, the memoir that I wrote during the pandemic. And so, I mean, it wasn't like a cliffhanger, you know, like you have to go read the book or whatever, but this is life changing. You know, it's an event that, you know, I was, if this happens close to your family, or even like you said, in touching it, it's, well, I appreciate you for having the courage, you know, and the forethought, and using your abilities to do, you know, to do this. And I was thinking about what your other mission is. I know you have the website, right? Hopeisasurvivalskill.com. And you're in public relations. I mean, how can you tell us more about your vision for moving forward, you know, with the...
Well, yeah. So what you're seeing right now is an idea that is just starting to bloom. While I'm getting it going, I'm sharing a lot of my own stories, a lot of my own, you know, things that I've learned. And you can see that on TikTok. I just posted a wrecker of a video today about how everything has just gone wrong. And I've just been angry and dealing with guilt and dealing with sadness and all this stuff. But in there, in the midst of all of that, that's what hope is made from. So the vision is to create this atmosphere where it's okay to share these things. And it's okay to share it in a way that is anonymous, you know, mm-hmm. like you're not comfortable sharing with everybody, but you still kind of need to talk it out. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But it's also okay to really start talking about this in a public way so that other people can get the idea of hope and get the, you know, the at the end of the tunnel at when hope happens, you've already gone through all that yeah. stuff. And you know that, as you know, with your own journey, you've learned probably a whole bunch about grief. You know, I mean, I talk about grief a lot, but you've learned how to cope and how to go through all these things, and you have to get to that process first. So I guess the bottom line, the end of the vision is we'll have maybe even some training available for reporting organizations, especially local yeah. news, because the local news, that's where the contagion is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw it in my own community. We had a rash of, suicide at our local high school when I was a reporter, and I was like banned from talking about it. We couldn't talk about that happened, about prevention or anything. But I think the not talking about it
yeah.
also made an impact. So, you know, training for media organizations, reporting organizations, changing the narrative in our news, you know, I want to see like actual measured data mm-hmm. come from this. And that's going to take a really long right. time. You know, books, speaking, I see this as going somewhere because we need it.
Yeah.
We need it. You know, if you go, and that's a long tangent, I'm just so passionate about this, and I'm so, so excited that you have me talking here. And I've not actually talked publicly about it yet. So thank you for listening to my ramblings about it. But,
it's great.
You know, part of the vision is that those measurable outcomes, you know, when you look at Google, and if you were to, Google.com is the search engine. And if you were to research the leading causes of death in the United States, we're talking stroke, heart disease, diabetes. And then you hit news, you're going to see those stories about prevention and risk factors mm-hmm. and hope and survival. Mm-hmm. But if you do that with suicide, you're going to see that doom and gloom.
Yeah.
So what I hope as far as a vision is that down the line, that's going to change mm-hmm. because we're talking about it more.
Yeah, definitely. Now when I did the audio book and some of the stuff that I wrote in the book, and today I was reading a chapter of a book or to someone that I was thinking, how did I get to that point where I could share certain things? And I was back in 1980, just about, you're talking about contagion and about, and now we have social media. In 1987, when I was in high school, there was no social media. And that's the thing. And, but then we had TV, and I was just reading about this. I was just reading my own chapter back to someone like live, even though I have an audio book. And the person was just listening this part. And in 1987, there was I was living in New Jersey, and there was a suicide pact. And it was in Bergenfield, New Jersey. And I was living right next to that. And there were four teens, and that was covered in the media so widely. And it created a trigger. I don't know if you remember that. We're about the same age. I mean, you're younger than me, but there were copycat suicides all over the country. And I remember being in a very vulnerable position at that age, at the same age, watching that on TV and seeing that. Now you multiply social media and all the different 24/7 things going on. It's like you need for you to be, and other people to be joining in to take the other side, or to be presenting things, even if, like you said, how many people lives can be saved. Yesterday, there was a horrible event that took place at a school. And what struck me was that this person who was obviously not in the right mind had texted their friend from high school, someone that they met in middle school, and said, thank you, before this tragedy took place, thank you for being the human being. She always remembered this person was nice to her in middle school, who this person was not even really close with. But that struck me, that someone who may be vulnerable or not on the edge or whatever, remembered their last thought was someone was nice to them once in middle school. Horrible what happened. And I'm not going to talk about what happened, but just that was, it's March 29th, 2023. So some, I mean, these things are happening daily, but maybe you knew about it, maybe you didn't, but just that was like, that stuck out at me because when I was teaching in the 90s, and I left after 7 years and I wanted to start, I told you about the Speakers Bureau. I wanted to make more of a difference after my daughter was born. So I'm only sharing this not to take up the time that, because it's.
It's great.
But just that, you know, when I did that, it was with conscious thought that I wanted to make. And I always remembered that time. And that was a very hard time for me in the teenage years. Not just like everyone goes through teenage years, but what happened in my family was so tragic that I was struggling, and my parents were not able to really, we were very highly educated college professors. It was a debacle that I'm not going to get into here or anything, or I wrote about that. But I just remember that copycat situation in a time of no social media, it just came to me because I was thinking about that. And what you're trying to do, maybe what I was doing in these past 20 years was maybe like a little drop in the bucket of things that maybe, you know, millions of students may have heard the messages of these handpicked people that I felt I was behind the scenes and I was booking them. And now being asked to come out and speak myself, which is strange for me to be in front of the sort of like what you're doing in a result of, I know it's very different, but after surviving and having like a miracle kidney transplant, and I was always in that mind of like wanting to do something, but more like standing back behind and orchestrating. And I spoke at a high school 2 months ago as an ambassador for the Gift of Life. I know you live in a state nearby. And so I'm in, this is just out of the headquarters in Philadelphia. And that's where I did a training right after right after the transplant. I did a training about sharing your story. And so it relates about, you know, saying you're sharing your story, you're a experienced person in the media, mm-hmm. but had you ever shared your story? Had you ever been in front sharing like that? Or is this something, would it be something new to you? You were telling the stories or being in the media, but were you out front before as a speaker?
Not really.
So it's new, it's a similar.
Yeah, not usually. I did have the opportunity, you know, you talked about some of the stuff that I had done before. When my kids were really, really, really little, they're still pretty little now. But when we first had kids, I had the opportunity to help craft some legislation here in Delaware regarding midwifery, because midwives, completely off topic, midwives in Delaware at the time were not allowed to attend home births, which is what their craft is. They are the experts in mm-hmm. home birth. They weren't allowed to do it. So I had the opportunity back then to help craft this legislation, to help work on grassroots advocacy. And I was considered a consumer because, you know, I'm not a midwife, I'm not a legislator, I wasn't a professional at the time, except, you know, reporting. But I was able to share our story when it comes to birth trauma. I had a traumatic childbirth situation. And I was able to share my story in that way because I worked on committees through the state and helped the doctors really understand our point of view, help the midwives understand and help, you know, facilitate those conversations. So in that way, I had shared some of our story before, a different kind of story, obviously, but sharing the trauma of my husband passing, that is obviously very new. And I definitely prefer being behind the scenes. That's for sure.
Yeah. But you're called to this. I mean, it's sort of, I mean, it's not you bring a lot to the table, you know, in terms of, you know, the different things that you've done and being able to accomplish this, you know, being able to make an impact, you know, in this mission of hope is your survival skill. I was just thinking, what are some of the skills? I mean, what are some of the things that we could start to talk about? You know, I'm just asking, you know, saying like, mm-hmm. hope is a survival skill. What are some of the skills? Like now that you're going through it, you're going through it, you're still going through, but let's say someone's going to that computer screen and they're, you know, they're looking on Google or they're looking something, what would be, I don't know, maybe there's someone listening to this podcast that's going through something. What could we recommend to them?
So the best thing I would say that I promote actually is the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And they already have a lot of resources out there. They have resources on how to talk to your friend, how to talk to your kids, how to talk to yourself, how to grieve a loss. You know, when it comes to kids, really anybody who is considering dying by suicide, talking is really one of the best ways to work through it. You know, but part of the problem is when you come to that conclusion, that is the only way to deal with things, then you've already made up your mind. Mm-hmm. The door is kind of already closed. But if we find a way to kind of alter the algorithm, if you will, right? So we're altering the Google News algorithm or the whatever. And if we soak in some of these skills in ourselves, okay, this is how I'm feeling right now. How am I going to feel 5 minutes from now? How am I going to feel an hour from now? You know, why am I feeling this way? You know, if we can kind of talk ourselves through it, but that's a skill,
right?
You know, learning how to cope in those deep depressive states, mm-hmm. that's a skill.
Yeah.
And you actually have to force your mind out of it. And some people, you know, it's not possible. It's not possible because it is a medical situation. You know, the brain is an organ, just like the rest of us.
But, you know, I still think those people at that point, still, if there was a, you know, I mean, I know there are all these kind of numbers and things, but I still think that people, even at that point, can be, you've seen people, you know, in these different situations, that there is a compassionate police officer or someone that comes by. I mean, I know it's sort of hard to identify and this, that type of thing. I think it goes to a lot of things, but yeah, I think prevention, that was what, you know, even in schools, and that's what I was really, it was really because of that. I mean, I have to be honest, when I was talking about those people, those kids in 1987 and in Bergenfield, New Jersey. And I was thinking that was really why I did what I did later. I struggled a lot as a teenager you could read the book. I mean, it was a lot that went on, and it became very desperate for me not wanting to do that and not that, but it became hard for me. And I think later in life, you know, maybe teaching, it was an outlet, but it was really what I did with the speakers and with this going into the schools was out of that pain and out of that maybe someone could come in to a school in an appropriate, you know, inspirational, positive way and make a difference. So that was really, truly, it's strange. Maybe because I was thinking, because I knew you were coming on to talk today. So maybe I was thinking back on things about that. So I don't think I can compare. I mean, you have all these things, but it's just a matter of, I think being able to reach a little earlier. You're right about that. I don't think it's like someone couldn't be saved at the end. I think people feel very alone in a world with a lot of people and become very isolated. The pandemic was the most dramatic example. And because I was immunocompromised, I was forced to really stay quarantined. Like I had a transplant right before the pandemic, and it became a very depressing time for me because I was so scared that after going through all those years of dialysis and all those years of kidney failure to dialysis, to finding a donor, the triumph of a donor, and then to get a transplant and then right into a pandemic and worried. I saw on TV, you know, okay, people are not making it. I just didn't want to go out that way like that, it potentially. And my daughter, who was in college then, was protecting me and stopped her life. I mean, everyone had to come home from the university.
Yeah.
But she was really protecting me not to get me sick. And so I'm just saying that I never thought I would be vaulted into it, such a depressive episode, you know, myself being wanting to go on with my life and then being constricted off a machine into quarantine, I'd say. I've got off a machine into quarantine. So you never know who it's going to affect, what's going to, you know, be. But it was the isolation. I'm just saying, from a personal experience, isolation of being sort of out. And I think I still feel like I was in some ways going through that. I was worked from home, and then everyone went back. My daughter went back to college. My wife went back to work. She works in another state. And then feeling like that feeling, you know, and I think for someone just going through life who has skills and coping skills, I think it can happen to them too, where they really need to reach out. I mean, it was you. I mean, that day it was you. I just happened to come across your video, and it was very, very emotional for me to watch your video, the video that I came across, but it was also, I wanted to reach out to you. You know, maybe it was as much for me, more for me even, that I just wanted to feel that connection, you know, with you, and to maybe it was going to be helpful to you. I wasn't sure if my texting you and you listened to me. I just have to share that, you know, the magic of that. You were very skilled in responding to me. And can I share this? Can I share this part?
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to be upsetting to you. I just don't want it to be upsetting.
Oh, no, it's fine.
But
thank you.
When I was chatting with you, not knowing you, and then there's like a little chat, you know, if you're friends and follow each other, then there's a little chat. And I was chatting to you. You were answering me so amazingly. You were there for me. You were listening to me. Your responses were as if you were trained. Well, I guess you are now. You are trained. But you, you know, but you were answering in such a compassionate way that I wanted to continue talking to you. I wanted to continue sharing with you. And I shared with you. And I felt like, this is the wrong thing. But I felt like in some way you were okay with it. Like, how were you feeling when this strange guy comes on and he's telling about his transplant and that, like, that was how I was feeling supported by you. I was feeling like, you know, really that, but what were you thinking and feeling at that time?
Well, I am very glad. I'm very happy that you felt supported. And you need to be, everybody needs to be supported in a way, you know, whether it's friends, family, or a stranger online. For me, I was feeling like, wow, my message actually reached somebody. And that was really cool. And it reached somebody that like went way beyond my friend and family group, you know? And I thought, this is a need, you know, you reaching out to me and then sharing your story with me confirmed to me that I'm kind of on a good path here. Yes. And even though I'm still, you know, you can see all over my TikTok, I'm still crying every day and I'm still angry and feeling all the feelings, but I can still make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, even though I'm going through all that, and that just, it really solidified that for me. So thank you.
For me, when I was during the pandemic, I felt called to encourage other people and to, there's this phrase, walk alongside. Have you heard that term? It's like maybe a more church related type thing, but to walk alongside the people that were going on the kidney journeys. And it wasn't, but that I trained to be an ambassador for the Gift of Life right after the transplant. You know, I was like, why are you here? Not sure what happened there. Why are you here? And I had been 11 weeks after my transplant. I said, that's a little soon, but I really want to train for that. Everything closed down, the pandemic. But I wasn't systematically looking, but some people came into my life or I bumped into somebody and then some people called me. I heard you help someone with their kidney stuff. And I started really giving all my time to that. And then people started, not because of me directly, but people were on their journey towards transplant, either a deceased donor, or living donor. And then they were getting transplanted, but they remembered me. And they were calling me from the recovery rooms in different states and different places that they were getting transplanted. And in some cases, it was people that were really giving me some really great feedback. Like, it was your support that made the difference for me and stuff like that, that is hard to process. And one woman actually wanted to be in the book. So the last chapter of my book is called Tamara's Miracle. And it was about how she got the transplant. And it was sort of, and that reason I'm talking about that, and as it relates to you and this topic, is that that sort of led me on to want to kind of devote the rest of my last chapter of segment of my life to being more about giving people hope and just sharing my experiences coming out from behind the scenes. You said, you'd help people with the advocacy and with the midwives?
With midwives. I know it's completely unrelated to.
No. But it was important that you said that, because that was, you have this skill set, this background, and maybe we're in a similar situation, just tying it together. It didn't have to be, I'm saying this, but I'm saying it in sort of coming from behind and bringing whatever we had to, through whatever pain and through things that happened, which were to give to this feeling of hope. And when I wrote the book, there was a best-selling author. I self-published the book in June 2020, but there was a best-selling author I knew and had a connection with, and personally on some levels. And I just took a chance. Would you write the foreword to my book? And he said, I'd really like to do it. I have two publishing deadlines, and I can do it in 4 to 6 months. I said, well, I'm 4 to 6 weeks no worries. I totally understand. Thank you so much. We had an hour long conversation. His name is Ellis Hennekin. He writes books with famous politicians and people, and it's so famous person with, and he had many, many best-selling books, and he's a really great guy. He's on TV a lot. And I thanked him. And then about 10 days before I went to publish, he called me and said, I want to do the foreword for your book. Yes. I have a self-published book with a best-selling author. And he didn't just say forward. I didn't know what he was going to write, but he put, you know, you say forward and then there's the forward. He titled he titled it Jay's Journey of Hope. Jay's Journey of Hope. And he knew about my life and stuff. And I felt that burned in my brain. I just wanted to share that with you. Hope is a survival skill. And really what I really wanted to do, if I had to, you know, formal next thing, my speaker's bureau is a vision in motion, but Jay's Journey of Hope. So when I spoke at the high school, I mean, take up the last time, because I want you to share all about your contacts, your social media, and all the points that people can get in touch with you. But I was speaking at a school a couple months ago, a vocational technical high school for like these pre-medical program. And they were so wonderful, students, and they had themselves maybe been from different backgrounds. It was a inner city kind of school. And this kid, the student who's great, said to me at the end, he said, oh, well, what's next for you, Jay? You know, what is it that you're going to do next? We want to know. And it just came to me, you know, about the forward and I said, well, this is the first stop on Jay's Journey of Hope tour. And I think that I see the same thing for you. You know, I see the same thing, you know, that you'd be on this journey. It's hope is a survival skill, but Jay's Journey of Hope, and then hope is a survival skill. Hold on, possibilities exist. All these things started going in my mind. And so I feel a special kinship or some kind of feeling for you, somewhat personally, not, you know, just meeting you, but also about what your mission is. And I just shared it, that part of it. But but I was just going to ask you if you could share with everyone, you know, like just about your website and your different social media outlets, and just kind of give everyone a chance to be able to connect with you to get more information. And then maybe you'll keep in touch, right? About things.
Yeah, I hope so. I've really enjoyed this. I've really enjoyed hearing your story. And, you know, you shared a little bit earlier about how you felt when you were sharing with me, and I shared in response. And I just, that those kind of connections are really so important. Those kind of friendships, you know, you said kinship is really so important. So I thank you for that. I thank you for stepping out and maybe even being a little uncomfortable at first and starting that going. And I also want to say, Jay, too, that even though, you know, we have these platforms, whether it's on TikTok, whether it's, you know, my website, wherever it might be, it is so important that if you are, you or, you know, somebody who might be listening to this, if you guys are going through something, whether maybe you are having suicide ideations, or you know somebody, or you know you have a loss and you don't know how to process that, it is so important to reach out, to talk to people, to talk to friends, a counselor. You know, if you're in school, a lot of schools now have mental health counselors. Mm-hmm. And you know, on my website, so my website is www.hopeisasurvivalskill.com. Really long, but also really easy. Hopeisasurvivalskill.com. And on every website, right at the top, it's plastered. If you are experiencing an emergency, a crisis, call 988. You can text HOME to 741-741. I am in no way affiliated with any of these things. These are just the U.S. national reach out for help type hotlines that we have now. And I think as a reporter, I used to always say, you know, like, I'm not a finance reporter. I'm not an education specific reporter. I used to be a reporter for everything. I would touch on every topic, which means I'm not an expert on any one of them. But what I'm an expert in is being able to locate the resources to share to other people. Mm-hmm. And so, I might give poor advice. I don't know, you know, I know what my experiences have been. And so that's what I can speak on. Yeah. And I can speak to sharing resources. And so, on my website, you know, you can see a little bit about my journey. The website's only just getting started. So it's only just a little snippet. And it's going to keep continuing. You can also submit your story on the website, whether you have a suicide loss experience or you have a lived attempt experience. And you can do that anonymously, or you can do it in a way that we, myself and whoever that person is, work together to craft a message to the media that is appropriate, that follows the guidelines set out by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention to reduce risk of contagion, but to increase the possibilities of hope, right? And I will also talk with those people about what to expect if they do send out a media release. You know, if they do want to talk to the to reporters, you know, what does that look like? What does an interview look like? What kind of questions can they expect? Mm-hmm. All that. I know because I used to drill people myself. I was the best driller in town for a few years, at least. So also on my website, there is information for reporters, but it's not information from me. Again, this is information from other resources where, you know, studies have said XYZ, you know, Poynter's Institute, reporters will know that one. Again, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I cannot speak highly enough of their media resources because they talk about how the media should speak about who have experienced suicide. They tell us how we should share our stories. And let me say this, you can share your story however you'd like to. You know, it's your story. You own the narrative, you know. Mm-hmm. But there are some things that we should and should not say according to research. And so that's what I will never put something out on my website that goes against those guidelines. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's really important.
What about social media? Is that something you would?
Yes. I mean, so social media, I have Facebook, I have Pinterest and TikTok right now. I will probably eventually get a YouTube Spotify. Is that what it is? Spotify. My kids talk about it all the time. I'd like to start a podcast of my own.
Awesome.
Because I'd like to share stories in that way too. I know, like, so I listen to podcasts all the time doing the dishes or the laundry. You know, it helps me multitask with my three kids in the background. Mm-hmm. but for right now, I have the website, Facebook, TikTok, and Pinterest. And I hope to see some people there. I hope that we can get some stories going. And I really, really, really hope that I start to build trust in the general public who can share stories with me so that we can share it to more of the public, because I think it's really important. And I do have some experiences that I can share to help guide them along that process so that they are less scared, less worried about sharing with the media, because I know it can be scary.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful. And I think it's really going to make a positive impact in a lot of lives. And so I want to thank you so much for coming on, you know, to the podcast, and for just being able to, in many ways, come through to a point where you can use this, your own healing journey, to, in a big way, help other people to share your own story and to help other people share their stories. And your skill set is amazing, you know, being, you know, having been a award-winning a journalist, right? You say journalist or reporter? Award-winning.
Yeah, journalist.
Reporter, journalist.
We use it interchangeably.
Interchangeably, yeah. And so I guess from everyone out here in the world, we're wishing you the best and also an open invitation to come back and give updates and share. And we'll be following you. So hopeisasurvivalskill.com would be a great jumping off point, right? Because yes, everything from there, all the information from there would be there. And for people who want to interact and to contact you by email through the website is the best method. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that our lives connected, and I'm sure we're going to be in touch, you know, again. I hope so.
Thank you so much, Jay. Yeah, please keep up with me, because I would love to hear more about your story and where you're going too.
Thank you so much. So good luck with the rest of the day. Have a great day. And we'll be talking to you soon. Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us here again on Jay's Real World Podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and the other platforms. And don't forget to activate the notifications button on the platform so that you can be notified of the next episode. Just a reminder of my book is now available, Mysterious Ways, Discovering the Miracles of Life as I Fight for My Own Mysterious Ways. It's available on Amazon as a Kindle ebook, as well as a paperback, and also now an audiobook recorded, and I narrated it myself. So it's on Audible and Amazon and Apple. Take a listen or take a read. And it's a collection of stories, true life stories from my life, done in a sort of interesting way. So again, have a great day. We'll talk to you and see you soon.